You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Mark Grandy in for Mark Willard today. So Dibs and Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game. We are an hour away from Tim Roy taking over in Miami as we get ready for Warriors and Heat. We are a half hour away from turning over to Warriors Live. It'll be Dibs and myself with you then from 3:30 until 4. But we've got a little bit more time to talk about some Giants baseball as we're 2 days away from opening day here on 95.7 The Game. But first, speaking of that basketball game, Warriors and Heat in Miami, I mentioned the Heat side of the injury report, Dibs, before he went to break. Kevin Love is out. Tyler Hero is out. Duncan Robinson is out. Jimmy Butler is also out. That's a bit of a surprise. He was probable with a non-COVID illness. So Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, along with Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson, all out for Miami. Meanwhile, for the Warriors, Trayce Jackson-Davis was listed as questionable all day with right knee soreness. Anthony Slater is reporting now that Trayce Jackson-Davis is out. So Trayce Jackson-Davis will not play tonight in Miami for the Warriors, but given that long Heat injury report, Dibs, it feels like the tide is turning in the Warriors' favor for this one in Miami.
Yes, it is, but unfortunately with this Warrior team, you can't ever look at a matchup and decide anything about any matchup, even with injuries. You remember earlier this year, the rise of G.G. Jackson.
Well, they even lost to this same Miami team at home without Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about that Memphis game, which was, for me, the low watermark as far as, you know, counting games in the win column, because they did have J.J. Jackson, but they also had G.G. Jackson, who ended up with, I think, 27 in that game, and it was kind of his coming out party.
Yeah, that was Draymond's first game back from his major suspension.
Right.
It was on MLK Day in Memphis, and the Warriors laid an egg.
Yeah. You got an incredible memory. January 15th. Yeah. It's because you do a lot of these games.
I was doing that game. So that's why I remember it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Draymond's first game back. You're thinking, all right, like, let's get going Come on. You don't need a ton from Draymond in that game, but like, let's figure this thing out. And you go up against the most injured team in the NBA, and they've been that way all year. And you don't just lose. You get run out of the building in the fourth quarter.
And this could be big for the Warriors in a number of fronts, because if you're thinking about a load management game for Steph Curry, I'm not saying that they are, but if you're thinking in terms of 9 games in 16 days, how do we buy Steph not just a few minutes rest, but a whole game of rest? You've got Orlando tomorrow, and then Charlotte and San Antonio the rest of this trip. So if you beat Miami tonight, maybe you do take a look at that Orlando game and think that might be the spot. The other thing I was thinking, and this comes from you mentioning Tim Roy, I was following him on Twitter at Warriors Vox, and he was showing pictures. Oh, what a difference a day makes from Minnesota to Miami. Oh. How do you pack for this trip if you are...
You need a big suitcase.
Because you got 15 degrees in Minnesota, and I just looked at 74 in Miami.
Oh, that sounds nice.
And then you've got Orlando and, you know, San Antonio, Charlotte. I think Charlotte's probably pretty warm, too, but you got to make sure you've got coverage for Minnesota, and it's being 15 degrees and snowy.
Yeah, I saw his picture from the team hotel.
Yeah.
Looking out in snowy downtown Minneapolis. And now you're in Miami on South Beach. And you had a day off yesterday. Maybe, you know, they were out at the beach having some fun. Who knows?
Should be.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be rainy in Charlotte, 63. So you've got your snow gear. You've got rain gear. You've got your swimsuit. and your sunscreen. Definitely a big suitcase trip for sure on the five game.
You got your parka packed away
totally.
Now, deep in the bag, because you're not going to need it anymore. But yeah, so we got more Warriors coming up in about 25 minutes, so about 22 minutes or so here on Warriors Live at 3:30. It's Dibs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs. I'm sitting in for Mark Willard today here on 95.7 The Game. So again, long injury report, the Heat without Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, Tyler Hero, and Duncan Robinson. More on that coming up in a little more than 20 minutes as we get into Warriors Live ahead of Dubs and Heat in Miami. All right, back to the Giants here on 95.7 The Game. I think the one thing that stands out to me, Dibs, and we can break down the lineup and how many homers is Jorge Soler going to hit and Jung Hoo Lee's going to get on base this amount of times. He's going to steal 25 bases and he's going to be a gold glove center fielder. We could talk about all of that and project and say, oh, 87 wins or whatever we think. The bottom line for me, though, Dibs, is what Farhan Zaidi has accomplished this offseason and the franchise as a whole, and I think Bob Melvin is a big part of it. They just have me excited for baseball once again, and they are going to have my attention. Unless things go absolutely terribly wrong, this team and what they've put together this offseason, it has earned the right to have my attention throughout the entire season. They have not had my attention the entire season the last couple of years. You know, last year they had my attention at the beginning of the year. You know, it's really difficult when spring comes around and baseball begins to not just sit back and watch opening day.
Yeah.
It's one of the best days on the calendar, on the sports calendar, opening day and the beginning of a new season. And you get out to the yard and you smell the fresh cut grass and you're here at Oracle and you smell the garlic fries and the sound of, you know, the ball into a glove and the bat on the ball. Like it's one of the best feelings. It's being at a baseball game, enjoying, you know, the boys of summer and all of that. But recently, the Giants, you get to July, you get to August, and you're like, it's difficult for me to care about this team. But what the Giants have accomplished, bottom line, and this is a fact. This isn't like, this can't change. What they have earned from me, given the offseason they have had, Dibs, they've earned my attention for the whole season. They have not earned my attention prior to this year.
Yeah.
They have earned it now.
Well, and they've earned it based on what they did and what Farhan ostensibly did in the offseason, which is why I think that he becomes not completely blameless, but he becomes somewhat Teflon this year because his job when he came here was to build up the farm, and now you're starting to see some fruits born out of the farm that he helped to recreate, including maybe the starting catcher, Patrick Bailey. I'm not sure if they go with Murphy or if they go with Bailey, but either way, you've got a catcher, and you've got Matos, who will be here soon. You've got Harrison, who now delivers. You've got some young players that he's drafted who are coming up and starting to make an impact. Then he went out and got free agents that you actually care about, free agents that you've heard of, and guys who've got a proven track record of success at the major league level. And you mix them with some of the holdovers and the other finds he's had. You've got the best roster that Farhan Zaidi's put together in his time here in San Francisco. My only hesitation as far as the excitement goes is trying to avoid what happened last year when you opened up the year 6-13, actually, and you were flatlined for a long time. Then you rallied back into the middle of the year, and then things started to fall apart, like you said, in August. And you got to August, and you know you were 11 games above, 60-49. On August 2nd, and you wound up 79-83. So you went 19-34 over the last third of the year. And that's where, you know, a lot of the people just tuned him out, and the players actually tuned out Kapler, and that thing devolved pretty badly over the course of the last 2 months.
Well, that's even the thing. I mean, even when they were 60-49, at what point of the season was it? Late July?
August 2nd.
Early August.
Yep.
Even at that point, and I remember having this conversation with you guys, you and Willard, both on air and off air, and I think this might be the biggest disagreement Mark Willard has ever had with me. At 60-49, that was fool's gold. You knew that they weren't that good. Like you could feel, all right, happy that they're in a postseason spot, that they're still in a race. What gave you confidence that they were going to be anything, even when they were 60-49? You could feel the fall coming.
I think it's partly because of the way they went about it with openers. And Logan Webb They beat Arizona 4-2. They get to 16-49. When Logan pitched, you felt confident that you would win that game. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it felt like it was Logan in the openers last year where, you know, you were going to Brebbia and you were going to all different.
Going to Ryan Walker.
Exactly. A lot of stopgap arms. And, you know, Manaea was no longer in there. And Stripling was hurt. And DeSclafani was out as of about May. And so I'm kind of with you in terms of how it felt. But still, 16-49 is legit. And, you know, you're on pace to win probably 87 or 88. And you're going to be a playoff team. And then the bottom fell out. You got swept by Oakland. You lost 2 of 3 to the Angels. You lost 2 of 3 to Texas. You lost 2 of 3 to Tampa. You see the pattern? You lost 2 of 3 to Atlanta. You lost 2 of 3 to Philly. You lost 2 of 3 to Atlanta.
Consistency.
You finally win a series over Cincinnati, oof, at which point now you're 6 games above and you are leaking oil.
Yeah.
But this year's team, it feels like they've got so much more talent that they can avoid those long stretches of bad baseball.
If they're 60-49 in early August, late July, however it falls on the schedule this year, if they're 60-49 at some point this season, it will feel so much better than last year's 60-49 felt. Even though you can say, given the talent on the roster, it is more surprising last year. Like, you would expect it more this year than you did last year because you have a lot more talent on the roster. But it would feel more real. And it would give me more hope that a legitimate postseason run was happening. I mean, it's almost like what the 107 wins in 2021 was. You didn't really know how the hell they were doing it. They just were doing it somehow. And it's why there wasn't a ton of confidence or excitement around the team in 2022. But if you are 60-49 this year with this roster, obviously it kind of depends how it all happens. But if it's relatively straightforward and there aren't all these crazy injuries, right, and all, right, that, I would feel much more excited about 60-49 this year than I did last year because you feel like you've at least got the guys, the horses, the dogs that can get you through the dog days and into the postseason and maybe make a run. I did not feel that at all last year, not even for a second.
That's an 89-win pace, by the way, 60-49. 89.
Yeah.
And that goes over the total, currently sitting at 83.5. And there's only been 1 year going back to 2012 where you won more than 89 games. And that's when you won 107.
Going back to 2012.
Yeah, even in 2014, you went 88-74.
Man.
So if you can get to the 90-win plateau, 2012, you won 94. 2010, you won 92. Other than that, you won 107 in 2021. So if you think about that in terms of where this Giant team has been since they started winning championships, 90 wins is what got it done in 2010 and 2012. 2014, you were close with 88. You don't need to go out and win 100 games to feel like you're a championship contender. Just get to the end of it, be in the playoffs, be healthy, and then go out and win baseball games. And I think that this roster is built to last more than any roster that they've had.
And it's actually built to get better as the season goes along because you've got a couple of major reinforcements on your starting pitching staff,
right,
to the point where maybe the guys that you've been talking up all offseason get booted out of the rotation, potentially. And that's realistic.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Also player positional depth as well, because Matos and Luciano, you might find that neither one of them's in the starting lineup, and Luciano may not even be with the big club.
It's probably going to open the year in AAA.
And Casey Schmidt's going to be in AAA, and I know his bat is yet to really explode on the scene, but you're going to have a AAA roster that has a number of guys who have either had a cup of coffee or a longer stretch in the bigs and are big league ready. And that is going to help you if you happen to come across, or when you rather come across injury. I know Slater's fighting back from an off-season surgery. So if he falls on tough times physically, you've got Matos, who you, yeah, can just bring right up. And he's already knocking on the door.
He's had a good spring, too, Matos has. If you, yeah, are still holding out hope for Marco Luciano to begin the season as the starting shortstop, it's just about over. Nick Ahmed's probably going to start opening day. It seems very likely at this point. And if you are Marco Luciano, you're more accurately. If you're the Giants making a decision on Marco Luciano, it would be better to not have him ride the bench, get a start here and there, and a pinch hit at bat every once in a while, as opposed to just send him down to AAA and let him get consistent at bats and consistent starts. Because the big thing with Luciano, Dibs, is maybe he's relatively even or equal to Nick Ahmed in terms of the bat. I mean, Ahmed is not going to wow you offensively. But Luciano's glove is far behind their other options at shortstop. So you need him to get consistent innings defensively and get better in that regard. So if you are still holding out hope for Luciano as this team's opening day starter, it seems unlikely at this moment. It's going to be Nick Ahmed. The one where I agree with you and maybe agree with some of the fans clamoring for, it's Luis Matos as the team's left fielder. He has had an awesome spring. Conforto is probably going to get the nod, at least on opening day. But Conforto had a rough season last year. Doesn't mean he can't be good this year. But if Matos takes a leap, and he showed some signs last year, he came up late in the year and had an awesome beginning, kind of petered off a little bit there towards the end. But Matos might be this team starting left fielder perhaps before too long, or maybe right field. Who knows what happens on that side as well?
Could be. And, you know, he had 10 extra base hits in 56 plate appearances. He had the 6 doubles and 4 home runs. So Matos was tearing the cover off the baseball, and you would expect that, you know, he will get a chance at some point. And you've got Conforto at 31, and, you know, he could come across an injury. Yaz is up there in the 30s as well. Inevitably you're gonna have some injuries that happen across the board, and so Matos is gonna get his chance. The thing I'm interested to see about Luciano is, where do you play him in Sacramento? Are you still sold on him being a left side of the infield infielder? Or do you start trying him in the outfield? Because I'm looking at his splits in the minor leagues across a multitude of levels since he was 17 years old, shortstop and second base. Shortstop, second base. He's not played the outfield. He hasn't played third. So if you're hell-bent on making him your shortstop, then the glove's going to have to get a lot better.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that Casey Schmidt is better as a defensive shortstop.
So is Nick Ahmed.
So is Nick Ahmed. And if you think Casey Schmidt maybe is the shortstop or a left side of the infield player for you in the future, maybe you move Luciano to second and you treat him as your second baseman of the future.
Possibly, yeah. Or you try to find a way to get Luciano into the outfield, which might be where he's best suited, got a good arm, and, you know, the outfield a little bit less pressurized for a player early in his career.
Yeah, who knows? I think bottom line, though, for the Giants, as we zoom out from the Luciano conversation, is I just got to a point last year, and it's why I felt that way at 60-49. I was tired of feeling like an average baseball team was overachieving. I felt exhausted by having to feel like being a couple of games over 500 or at the end of the season being barely under 500 was actually a good season considering the talent. It was so difficult to try to psych yourself up mentally to try to tap in and watch that team night in and night out. But I'm at a point now when we're 2 days away from opening day, and 2 days from now, the game will still be going on, I would imagine. It's a 1:10 first pitch in San Diego on Thursday. I will be excited because I know that this is a team that legitimately has deeper goals and aspirations and legitimate win totals that they can reach. Like an 80 win last year, an 81 season last year felt like a major disappointment. An 80 win season this year, Dibs, would feel like a major disappointment.
Agreed.
And while there is that room to maybe be more disappointed because you are a little bit more emotionally invested, at least we're beginning the season, at least I'm beginning the season, and maybe you disagree, but at least I'm beginning the season from a point of, I expect this much more, which is going to make me more emotionally invested. And that's the bottom line for the Giants. What has hurt them so much? We can talk about the lack of talent, but the major issues just come from the fact that the fan base has had few expectations for them, and as a result, they're tuning them out.
Right.
Even if this season is a failure and they go 79-83 again, I feel like it's going to be a more involved season because you have excited your fan base from the very beginning. Now, maybe that disappointment hits you harder towards the end of the year, but at the very least, there was the success in the offseason, and it allowed the fan base to get in touch with the team once again.
It just depends on how that goes. I do think that they need to win, and they certainly need to win early in the year to show fans that this team is different. Because last year, I mentioned they started out so poorly, and that just became an additional tune-out for fans. They need to come out and be not only successful, but they need to be exciting. And that's maybe why I look at the Jordan Hicks last night, and I know it was an exhibition game against mostly minor league hitters on the other side, but watching him...
They were most of the A's starters.
Oh, apologies. Watching the...
I mean, maybe for other organizations.
Yeah, watching the explosive stuff that he has, and... You know, he's throwing 98, 97 with movement, and Camilo Doval is a guy, when he comes in, you're going to stop what you're doing and watch because he's throwing 102, and they've got a lot of exciting players now as opposed to last year's team, and I think you used the word bleh, if it even is a word. It's certainly an expression, but last year they were very bleh. There wasn't really much that you could get excited about on that team. Logan Webb's a great pitcher. He's not exactly a thrilling soundbite. He's a great guy, and he loves sports, and he's fun to interview and talk to. But Jung Hoo Lee could be exciting. And Jorge Soler, if he produces the power numbers we're expecting, he'll be exciting.
Could be the first 30-home run hitter to wear a Giants uniform since Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds, yeah. And it sucks whenever you talk about anything and you use the phrase, since Barry Bonds.
There's a number of them.
Because it's been, what, 16 years now since he's been here? Was 07 his last year?
Yeah.
Sounds about right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, anything
he
since...
He started opening day 07.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time since you've had a real power threat, a consistent guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Let me ask you this. So if you are the Giants, or you're a Giants fan, would you rather have a poor roster, like say last year or 2 years ago, relatively devoid of talent, and... overachieve and win 80 games, or have this year's roster, which has a lot more talent, and underachieve and win 80 games? What is better?
It's better to have an exciting team and underachieve than it is to have a blech team and overachieve, because last year, 79...
Even though that is like technically a worse season because the expectations were higher.
But the excitement, it's an entertainment vehicle, and if you have this team, and if I know that Blake Snell's pitching... If you get Snell and Harrison and Logan Webb in a three-game series, you're excited. You're interested in all three of those games. Even if they hypothetically drop two of the three, you at least would be excited to go because they've got some good pitchers who you know about.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I'd just rather have my team take those swings, even if you swing and miss.
Well, as opposed to last year, if it was a
take
stretch
a rip,
of,
Farhan.
You know, oh, Brebbia is thrown today. Can't wait to get out there. No disrespect to Brebbia, but... Last year it was Webb opener, and
you know. But Ryan Walker was like 13-3. The Giants
like
were
that.
13-3 when Ryan Walker opened games. Dibs, it works.
It's funny because we all threw out that stat, and then toward the end of the year they started losing all his games.
Yeah, they lost every game they played towards the end of the year. Didn't matter who was starting, but yeah, I'm with you. Even if say this season you look at it as a failure, and you underachieve, you hit your under, you don't hit the over, you go under on your win total of 83.5. Maybe when last year you might have went over based on the talent that you had, but you won the same amount of games last year to this year, I would prefer this year. And the disappointment that comes with having a better roster, I want my team to take those swings. Take those swings whenever you have the opportunity. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, swing again. And that's what Farhan's going to have to do this offseason, really. Do well this year or not, because you've got so many guys on one-year deals or opt-out deals, and you're probably going to have to go out and be active in the free agent market once again. But that's a conversation for another day. I'm just excited to finally have Giants baseball back and be looking forward to this team, to watching this team play night in and night out. It is Giants in San Diego on Thursday. Logan Webb against Yu Darvish should be a ton of fun from down in San Diego. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Nibs. When we come back, Warriors live as we get you ready for Dubs and Heat in Miami. A big injury report for the Heat. One Warrior is not playing tonight. We'll tell you who those guys are coming up on the other side. It's Dibs and Grandy with you here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors Live is presented by Xfinity at home or on the go. You'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. And we are sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Warriors Live coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Warriors basketball is back. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Chris Paul. 60 minutes before every game, we get you ready for tip. It's Warriors Live, and it starts now.
Yes, it does. Welcome in. Warriors Live is presented by Xfinity 10G, the network made for streaming. It's Mark Grandy and Dan Dibley with you today. I'm in for Mark Willard. So Dibs and Grandy with you on Warriors Live here on 95.7 The Game as we are an hour away from tip-off down in Miami. The Heat hosting the Warriors. The Warriors coming off of a loss last time out. That loss we've been talking about the last couple of days here on 95.7 The Game in Minnesota. They had a lead for the majority of that basketball game, but they lose it in the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, the Miami Heat coming off of one of their most impressive wins of the season. They absolutely dominated the Cavaliers a couple of days ago, winning 121-84, nearly a 40-point win for Miami last time out. They're now 39-32, the Warriors 36-34. A big injury report that we will get to. A number of key Heat players will not play tonight. Dibs, but coming off of the loss last time out for the Warriors, the hopes of the 10 seed dwindling a little bit. It just highlights the importance of this game tonight.
Yeah, it's game two of a 5-game trip, and you know that they're going to look for a bounce back after a winnable game slipped away against Minnesota. You've got Orlando tomorrow night, so you hope that you can get out to an early lead, put Miami away, and then you won't have to worry about the big minutes questions that we've all been kicking around for a day and a half now after Sunday night when Steph Curry didn't play more than 29 and change minutes. So tonight, ideally, with the Heat players missing, a lot of their key players are out. You get out to an early lead, a big lead, and then you make the fourth quarter garbage time. That's your hope with four games coming up here in the next 6 days.
Yeah, so you had Minnesota on Sunday. You've got Miami today. You've got Orlando tomorrow. Then Charlotte and San Antonio closes out this 5-game road trip. You then go home for one, and then you're right back out on the road. The Warriors are the road Warriors lately, and they will be for the rest of the regular season moving forward. We've both hinted at it. Let's just get to our injury report to kick off Warriors Live, which is brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. For more information, visit BoxerLaw.com. First, for the Warriors, Trayce Jackson-Davis, who was listed as questionable all day long, he is officially out with right knee soreness. He's the only Warrior on the injury report. Meanwhile, for the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler is out with a non-COVID illness. Kind of a surprise. He was probable all day, so the illness not only did not get better, but probably got worse. Butler is out. Also, Kevin Love out. Tyler Hero out. Duncan Robinson out. Also, Josh Richardson out for the Miami Heat. Meanwhile, Jaime Jaquez and Caleb Martin are both questionable. But the big ones, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, all out for the Miami Heat. But as we talked about a little bit earlier today, Dibs, just because a team is missing a number of their stars does not mean this is an easy win for the Warriors.
No, it's been proven that way in the past, although I am looking at the live number now, and it's Warriors giving 4.5 at Miami. I think that's indicative of the Heat and the number of players that they're missing.
I think it opened around 1.5.
Yeah, so
it's
got like the Warriors favored by 1.5.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Warriors favored by 4.5 now. And, you know, Steph Curry is going to be looking for a bounce back performance. He's been up and down a little bit of late, and he knows the importance of not only this game, but today and tomorrow as well. And I don't think that the Warriors are looking at the 10 seed as an annoyance. I do think they want to play well, win games, and play their way into the play-in tournament. I just don't believe that they're going to throw absolute all caution to the wind and go completely balls to the wall to do whatever they can to just scrap and fight for the 10. But they come into Miami highly motivated. It's the defending Eastern Conference champ. Miami also motivated on their own, Grandy. They're the 7 seed right now, tied in the loss column for the 6 seed. So Miami is going to be playing to try to avoid getting out of that, or to avoid being in, rather, that play-in tournament. So a couple of motivated squads, but with the Warriors being a little bit more equipped with fewer injuries.
Yeah, and the Warriors are currently the 10. They have fallen suddenly 2.5 games behind the Lakers for the 9. So the Warriors relatively firmly in the 10. A lot can change here in the final 12 games of the season, but it's looking more and more difficult for the Warriors to catch the Lakers. They do have another head-to-head matchup coming up. But Lakers 2.5, or Warriors 2.5 behind the Lakers for the 10. And the Houston Rockets, who won again last night, they are suddenly only a half game behind you. You are 36-34. They are 36-35. So you've played one fewer game, and that one extra game for Houston has been a loss. So you do have a leg up in the loss column, but only a half game back. If you lose tonight, Dibs, the Rockets are idle. You would be tied up heading into tomorrow. You do have the tiebreaker. But it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. When it comes to the team's motivation, I guess it comes down to how much they care about the 10 versus the 11. If they don't care, then they're not really that motivated. But if they do care, it would be hard to care more than a game like today, when a loss means you're neck and neck with the team chasing
right.
you.
And you will hold the tiebreaker over Houston
no matter what
happens on April 4th. You beat them twice already. So that at least gives you some hope if you happen to fall into a tie with Houston. Although a tie now would mean you'd have to win that game against Houston, or you'd be a game behind and the tiebreaker wouldn't come into play. I think professional pride mixed with organizational pride will keep this Warrior team motivated, even if they continue to sit kind of in this no man's land where it's 10 or 11 now. Like, 9's not completely off the table.
It's tough.
You're only 2 back in the loss column, so it's not a complete wash. And I think you have the Lakers one more time. You do.
Yep.
So that head-to-head at least would help you reverse one game in that quest to get the 9. But the 8 is certainly out of the question. You're 5 back of the 8 now with 12 to go. So you're kind of resigned to the bottom of the play-in, or you're going to be in the play-out. Or the play golf, as they call it.
Go to Cancun.
Yes.
That's what you're in line for if maybe you lose tonight. By the way, both the Warriors and Houston are in action tomorrow. The Warriors have a doubleheader. Houston back in action. We can talk about those games coming up in a little bit here on Warriors Live. Presented by Xfinity, at home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Again, Trayce Jackson-Davis is out tonight for the Warriors. Recently, he has been the Warriors' backup big. They're back up five behind Draymond Green, and every so often he gets starts when there are some injuries or other issues going on for the Warriors. But without Trayce Jackson-Davis tonight, Dibs, it means that Steve Kerr is going to have to turn to a couple of the guys that he's benched, that he's buried deep in the rotation. Who do you think gets the backup 5 minutes tonight without Trayce Jackson-Davis available? Is it Kevon Looney or is it Dario Saric?
Both would be my answer. I think they're both going to get a look in different circumstances. I think Kevon will probably get the first look, and then if you're in a spot where you need a little bit more offense in the backup five, you'll go to Dario Saric. I don't think either guy is going to get more than 10 minutes, but without Trayce Jackson-Davis, you're going to have to play a little bit differently because he's been so good in the dunker spot, and he's been a rim protector, one of your only real rim protectors, and that's not what Kevon or Saric do. So you're going to have to construct your defense a little differently without TJD back there.
Yeah, going up against Bam Adebayo on the other side, I feel like Steve Kerr would likely trust Kevon Looney and at least what he does a little bit more on defense to maybe hold his own in that matchup. So you're right. I wouldn't be shocked if both get a little bit of run. Steve Kerr sees what either of them can have, but I would expect the first big off the bench is going to be Kevon Looney. I think he'll get the first run, the first chance at it tonight.
And all eyes on the starting lineup, and you know, you might see Kevon actually get to start because he tends to play.
So?
I think it's a wild, little bit of a long shot. But
who did he start for?
If you think about who Kevon plays best with, it is that starting group. So you're going to go with Steph and Pods, which is what you've done, and Kuminga. And Draymond, maybe you put him in place of Wiggins if you want some size to go up against Bam early in the game. I mean, you trust Draymond to do it. But as Steve said to Mark and I, not Mark with a C, but Mark with a K, Draymond's had to play a lot at the five this year. And Steve didn't think that it taxed his back any more than playing in other spots. But I just wonder about, Draymond, and we talked about Steph and his minutes. Maybe you want to ease the burden on Draymond a little bit.
It's been interesting how the Warriors, different Warriors, have answered that question, because you're right. Steve Kerr has said a couple of times now, no, Draymond playing the five, that's not the reason why his back is hurting. It's just what happens when you get to his age and he plays hard no matter what position he plays. That's not the reason why. I'm not worried about his ability to hold up to the grind of playing the five night in and night out. Meanwhile, Draymond asked last week by Anthony Slater about playing the five, and if that's related to his back soreness, Draymond said, yeah, I think so. I mean, playing the five and you got a 7-foot guy that's crashing into you on every shot attempt, you got to try to box him out and get a body on him, that hit after hit after hit, it adds up. So Steve Kerr, at least publicly, saying he doesn't think that's the reason. Draymond said it's at least part of it. But maybe it's enough to get them to go to Kevon Looney tonight. I would be surprised if they changed the starting lineup.
I would be too.
But I would imagine we'll probably see a little bit of Draymond and Looney on the floor together.
Well,
probably not to start the game.
You look at TJD over his last 12, and he's out tonight. And since he got really inserted in the rotation, I'm going back to the Toronto game, the last 12, 23 minutes a night, 10.9, 6.6 rebounds, and almost 2 blocks. Mm. So the big number there for me is the 23 minutes. So now you need
to. Where are they going to come from? Yeah.
Where are they going to come from? And so I think it's going to probably be, Kevon and Saric. You give them each about 11 or 12. You see who's playing better. Maybe that person gets 15 and the other guy gets 8, something like that. But you're going to have to find 23 minutes of big from those two guys.
And that brings us to our Take It to the Bank prediction, which is brought to you by Fremont Bank Full Service Banking No Compromises. When I was planning on what I was going to talk about
during this segment, I love it.
I was going to talk about Trayce Jackson-Davis, exactly what you were talking about.
Under 1 minute, Mark.
Lock it up. It's happening officially. Unfortunately, it's off the board. If it was on the board, I'm taking it. But it's off the board. I was going to talk about Trayce Jackson-Davis. I think he was going to get double-digit scoring. He hadn't the last couple of games he played, but has been pretty consistent at that recently, as you were talking about, since he got inserted into the lineup, been averaging around 11 points per game. So I was going to give you a whole spiel about why it was going to happen today, break down the matchup with Adebayo, but it's all for naught. So I don't know what to go for my Take It to the Bank prediction, Dibs. I'll let you go first. How about that?
You and I talked during the break about a certain direction that we might go.
Uh-oh.
And, with TJD out, and I just mentioned that the numbers he's been putting up ever since he got reinserted in the rotation, he's been a rebounding machine. So thinking about this team in rebounds, Granny.
There's some extra rebounds out there to grab.
There
huh?
are rebounds to be had, and I was thinking, who might step into the breach and get those much needed rebounds? Well, we know Pods is a great rebounder, and his rebounding numbers have still been good, even though his scoring has gone down a bit. You know, Steph doesn't rebound a ton, and CP3 and Clay. You know what, Granny? I've decided hashtag ride the goo. He has his prize picks. Prize picks. Spot that he does, and he sends out his prize picks, and one of Goo's big picks today is over Andrew Wiggins' rebounds at 4.5. So I'm going to ride the Goo. We're going in. Goo, don't betray me, Goo.
You told me during the break you were going to go under. I was going to fade the Goo.
But the more we were talking about, and I looked at TJD's numbers, somebody's got a rebound. I think Wiggins steps right up. 5 rebounds for Andrew Wiggins tonight. Hashtag ride the goo.
You and goo are braver than I.
Let's do it, Wiggins.
I do not think I could predict a Wiggins over rebounds. I have been burnt by that too many times.
I'm looking at his game log, and in the majority of his games, he gets more than 5 rebounds, although the... he's gotten just 5 rebounds 15 different times.
Oh, sorry. So it's a well-laid prop.
It's a perfect number.
Yeah.
He's either going to get 4 or 5 rebounds.
Well, last time out, he had 4.
Right.
Indiana, he had 5. Memphis, he had 10.
Okay,
wow.
Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's do it, K-Wig. All right. Over 4.5 rebounds. Hashtag ride the goo.
Okay, I like it. Goo, don't let Dibs
come
down.
On, goo.
If it does not hit, you're going to hear about it in the crossover tomorrow.
Doubt.
I can guarantee
no
you that.
Doubt.
All right, my take it to the bank prediction, which is again brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. This is a little bit tongue in cheek, and it's the point that I've held. I held it post game on Sunday and again earlier today here on Willard and Dibs, filling in for Mark Willard today. I'm going over Stephen Curry, 30 minutes tonight.
Oh, look at you.
All I need is a second over. 30 minutes and 1 second, and this cashes, this hits. I'll take the over Stephen Curry minutes. I know Steve Kerr said he wants to keep him around 30, but if this is a competitive game, you're in danger of being tied with the Rockets if you lose this one. I'm not saying he's getting 36, 35, 34. I think he gets over 30 minutes tonight, and as a result, the Warriors have a much better chance to win.
Your biggest risk, in my opinion, is the blowout. Because, you know,
Correct.
No Butler, and Miami's missing a host of other players. And so if the Warriors can get on top and get that big second half lead, and Steph maybe gets 0 minutes in the fourth quarter, that would be ideal for Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. If you're up 94 to 72 after 3, Steph can just keep the sweats on and your prop would not hit.
That would be the kryptonite. For me tonight, certainly, is a blowout.
Yeah.
We talked about it earlier in the show. Last Sunday, the last game the Warriors played, was only the 10th time Steph had under 30 all season long, and the majority of those games were either blowout wins or blowout losses. And you don't expect this to be a blowout loss, although the Warriors have surprised us before. If this is a blowout one way or the other, you would expect it to be a blowout for the Warriors, because the Heat are, again, without Jimmy Butler, without Kevin Love, without Tyler Hero, without Duncan Robinson. You can also add Josh Richardson to the list. They're down a number of really important players tonight. So you're right. That is the one thing I got to look out for this Stephen Curry number. And who knows, maybe the Warriors' plan is to rest Steph against Orlando if
right.
they get a win tonight, so maybe that encourages them to play him a little bit more. You're right. But also, if this is a 20-point lead going into the fourth, maybe they adjust that plan on the fly and say, all right, Steph, you only got 22 tonight. We're going to not play you the whole fourth, and we can play you again tomorrow. Maybe this is kind of fluid as well based on how this
could
game plays
be,
out.
But my impression is that when it comes to rest, when you get a full game rest, it's worth a lot more
than just a
quarter of rest, because then you don't have to warm up, you don't have to shoot around, you don't have to go through any of the extra rigmarole, even if you only play 22 minutes. If you come out and play 22 and then zero, the amount of rest you'll get is significant. I misspoke during the crossover. When Steph plays 36 minutes, the Warriors are 1-8, not 1-9. So I slightly misspoke. They've only won one game when Steph Curry plays more than 36 minutes, and it was against Boston, and he had 33. It was a loss to the Lakers, and I think that was overtime. A couple of these games were overtime that they went out and lost, Sacramento and L.A. both. But 9 times he's played more than 36 minutes, and they have one win.
Yeah. I'm not saying he should play 36 tonight.
I'm just saying that
there's a nice middle ground around 32.
But when he plays more, it does not always portend a victory.
I guess part of that is just because they have been really bad in close games this year as well. And when you go to overtime, they have tended to lose. And when you go to overtime, Steph tends to play 36 or more.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, that is an interesting trend. More Steph means more losses. But there is a little bit of statistical nonsense we can pick through.
60 against Atlanta, 46 against the Lakers. So you can look at those games and probably not pin them on Steph.
Exactly. Yes, I agree with you. All right, it's Warriors Live here on 95.7 The Game. Time for What's on Tap, which is brought to you by Farmers Brewing. Have you tried Farmers Brewing yet? If not, it's time to put your lips on a farmer. And what's on tap for the Warriors, Dibs, the rest of the season, as has been the case? It's scoreboard watching. Of course, we'll have our eyes on the Warriors and Heat tonight, but tomorrow is going to be a big day in the race for the 10 seed in the West. The Warriors, after tonight, they're in Orlando tomorrow for the back end of a back-to-back. Meanwhile, the Rockets visit OKC to take on the Thunder tomorrow, and the Warriors, as we stand right now, are currently a half game ahead of the Rockets. So a loss tonight, Dibs, in Miami would mean that they'd be tied with the Rockets before both teams play tomorrow, but we'll be on full-on scoreboard-watching mode. That is what's on tap for the Warriors.
Lakers at Milwaukee tonight and at Memphis tomorrow. So as we're keeping an eye on the 9, we're not just going to give up on the 9 because a win combined with two Laker losses, which Memphis would be a stretch, but work with me for the sake of the conversation, the Warriors and Lakers would be tied in the loss column. If the Lakers lost to Milwaukee, feasible, and then lost at Memphis, they'd be 39-34. The Warriors would be 38-34 if they won tonight and beat Orlando. So don't give up on the 9 just yet, Grandy.
Yeah, we're 2.5 out right now. You got a head-to-head coming up. So you get a couple of these results to go your way. You win versus the Lakers head-to-head as well. Who knows? LeBron is also out tonight, so that helps if you are rooting for Lakers losses. But we are getting close to a point where really the only team you care about is the Houston Rockets. Not quite there yet, you're right. We're getting close.
Next two nights, Lakers and Houston. So if we're going to scoreboard watch, we should keep our eyes on both, especially tonight with L.A. at Milwaukee.
Yeah. And no LeBron, so you feel like the Bucks should be able to handle the Lakers, but we'll see. We'll give you the scores and all that on Warriors post-game, Warriors wrap-up. I'll have it for you here on 95.7 The Game after this one in Miami. We've got about a minute left, Dibs. Do you think the Warriors take care of business today? They improved the 1-1 on this road trip?
They do. They improved the 1-1, and you know, just when we're ready to completely write them off, they show up and play great, and just when we're ready to go 2 feet all in, they break your heart again. So based on the arc of the season, back-to-back wins tonight and tomorrow, everyone's back in.
Wow, back-to-back
all eyes on
wins.
The 9. And they go
to beat the Magic?
And they'll go to Charlotte and lay an egg. And we'll be back
what
to
about San Antonio?
One. I'm not ready to commit yet, but this team has been a complete roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, you're right. All right, that'll do it for Warriors Live here on 95.7 The Game for Dibs. My name is Mark Randy, filling in for Mark Willard today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'll be back with you post-game for Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game. But for now, Tim Roy is next. Warriors Live is presented by Xfinity at home or on the go. You'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. It's Warriors and Heat in Miami next on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.